It's great to be here this morning. If you're visiting with us, welcome. It's great to have you here. I have a few announcements before we jump in. This Wednesday, we're not having a midweek this Wednesday, so don't come. If you come, you'll be here by yourself. So because of Thanksgiving, we're not having a midweek. And also on Sunday, there might be a little mix of communication, but Sunday we're going to come in and worship God at 10 o'clock. So we will not have the Joshua class as we normally would have on Sunday morning. So you guys got that, right? Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, we're starting here. So get ready to go. You know, we've been doing this short series. This is the second part of the four parts. And we've been talking about, you know, being sold out to Jesus. And what exactly is selling out? And so this morning we're going to be talking about sold out responses. But before we get into it, let's pray, and then we'll get into it. All right, let's pray. Father God in heaven, Abba, you're so amazing. Father, you are incredible. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning. God, thank you so much for us to see your beautiful sunshine. God, that we get to experience the cool breeze and all the things that you have lavished your love on us. Father, I pray that you come now to help us mold our hearts, to soften our hearts, to listen to your words. God, I pray that you will speak now, Father, that you will speak to your people, that you will speak to us so that we can be more like your Son. Father, we are so unworthy. We're so grateful to be here this morning. Father, we love you. We love you more than life itself. Jesus, and we pray. Amen. You know, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And this is what we've been doing. The series on perhaps that we can really consecrate ourselves for 2016. 2015 was amazing and incredible, but 2016 is even going to be greater than that. But we got to get ready to see God. We have to be open to see what God is going to do in 2016. You know, consecrate. You know, for God is going to do a great thing. Last week we talked about sold out love. We talked about how God loves you so much. That we are the bride of Christ. That he rejoices over you. He's not just happy with you. He rejoices over you. That he's been courting you since the beginning of the universe. You know, and a substantial price was paid for you to be released from Satan's household. The impending wrath of God. The blood of Jesus. You have become a part of God's family as he continued to live in you. You have been completely transformed through the blood of Jesus. And you are a walking and talking miracle. That's what we talked about last week. Now, if you turn your Bible over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, today we're going to be talking about having a sold-out response because of God's great love for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're starting verse 11. And here's Paul's writing to the church in Corinth. Verse 11. So since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. You know, this morning, as we remember Jesus, like what Alvin talked in the communion, is that Christ's love should compel us because we are convinced. So the question is, are we convinced that Jesus died for us? That we no longer should live for ourselves, but for him who died for us. You know, today we're going to talk about sold out response, and what does it look like? And how do we get there? How do we get there being sold out for Jesus? First thing, what does it look like? This is the Spanish explorer. His name is Hernando Cortez. He was an explorer, a conquistador, and he went down to Mexico to conquer Mexico. And he did something completely amazing and astounding. He decided that he was going to burn all of his ships. When they landed in Mexico, he says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to burn the ships. There was no way out. There's no retreat. It was completely all in. This expedition was all or nothing. Get totally resolved and committed. You know, I think sometimes we are like, you know, we need to be like Hernando Cortez. Right. But too many of us, we live on plan B. You know, we have not totally been resolved and committed to live in plan A for Jesus. You know, we resort to plan B when plan A gets a little difficult. When plan A is a little costly or becomes a little costly. We abandon plan A because we have plan B. And we just live in plan B. What does selling out look like? Jesus did not die so that we can just live a good, comfortable, suburban life. We live our life trying not to sin, being careful to follow all the rules. When we were meant to storm the gates of hell, release the prisoners, bind and heal the wound, restore the broken, drag people out of Satan's grip to Jesus. That's what we were meant to do. Being sold out to Jesus, we were never meant to live in plan B. We cannot live in plan B anymore for Jesus. Jesus has given us everything. We talked about last week his love for us. True friendships in here. We want true friendships. We have a body of believers. We have the church. We have salvation. We have peace in our hearts. It's great to lay down your bed, you know, in your bed and have peace in your heart. Amen. You have joy. We have hope. There is hope. We have security. We have heaven. Imagine your name in the book of life. There's somewhere a book in heaven that has your name in it. How amazing is that? Jesus has given us so many things. If you get back more than you gave up, have you really sacrificed anything at all? That's what God has given us. He's given us so much. You know, I'm afraid that we've reduced ourselves to just following the rules instead of following Jesus. We invite Jesus to follow us instead of us following Jesus. What does it look like? We dabble in Christianity, hoping we can catch Jesus and to somehow obtain his blessings. We dabble. We follow Jesus to the point of inconvenience, but no further. How far are you willing to go? Completely sold out response to God's love is living as though each day is the first and last day of your life. That's what it means to be completely sold out to Jesus and to God, is to live as though it is the first day and the last day of your life. Wherever you are at, whatever situation you may be. I'm going to live for God like the last day and the first day for God. You know, every decision you make, I think for us is to think, what every decision I make, is it one step closer to getting to Jesus? Or is it one step forward, you know, away from Jesus? The places that you live, is it one step closer for me to get closer to Jesus? Or is it driving me away from God? The job that you have, is it one step closer to Jesus? The marriage that you have, the school, the degree that you have, it's about giving maximum effort to Jesus, 110%. You know, in Mark it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and with all your strength. That's what he requires, 110%. You know, I think a lot of times we have defining moments in our life, right? We have defining moments that changes everything about us and our relationship with God. You know, the tipping point in our relationship, whether we're going to tip into God or we're going to tip away from God. The point of no return. It's victory or death. You know, I want to talk about Moses here. You know, his defining moment is walking back to Egypt to lead his people. Exodus 4, it says, now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all those who want to kill you are dead. So Moses took his wife and sons and put them on a donkey and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. Years have passed. Now he's going back to Egypt to free his people. Will Pharaoh listen? Will Pharaoh, you know, what will he do? It might cost him his life. Moses was willing to go back to Egypt. Elisha, killing his oxen and burning the plowing equipment. First Kings says, so Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12 pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elisha replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. You know, Elisha was a rich guy. In times like this, nobody has 12 yoke of oxen. He had 12 yokes. He was a rich guy. But when God called him, he left everything. He killed his oxen, had a big party. He cut down his plowing equipment, and they had a big party. Now, he didn't think about, oh, my goodness, what is the salary here, Elijah? Do you have vacation plan? What about our medical plan here? It says he went home and kissed his family goodbye and killed the oxen, burned the plowing equipment, and then became a servant to Elijah. He did all that just to become a servant of the prophet. You know, David, defining moments, running towards Goliath. You got to like that, right? You're in battle. He's running towards him. 1 Samuel, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Life or death. Complete faith in God that God was going to give him victory. Just like he killed a lion and a bear when they attacked him when he was, you know, tending his father's sheep. He believed that God was going to rescue him, just like how he did with the lion and the bear from Goliath. Daniel, going down to the pit of lions. Daniel 6 says, so the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you. Simply because he will not bow down to the king. He believed in God. He worshiped God only, even if it meant that his life was in jeopardy. Daniel, faithful man. Defining moment. Peter, stepping out of the boat, walking on water. How many of us can say we walked on water, right? Matthew 14, come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. You know, these guys gave it all up. What it means to be completely sold out for God is to have complete faith in him, that he will rescue you no matter what. You know, I became a Christian at the University of Georgia a long time ago, and I studied the Bible with Gene Veal, and I grew up going to church, and really, but I didn't have it. And he studied the Bible with me, really helping me to become a Christian. And so I went home and told my parents, Mom and Dad, I've been studying the Bible with this great group of people at campus, and they've been, you know, teaching me so much about God. And my parents said, so what are you doing? We didn't send you to school to join this group. We didn't send you to school. We sent you to get an education. We came from Laos, a poor country, and here you are going to school. You have an opportunity to do great things with your life academically, and here you are blowing it, trying to go to this church thing. And so, it was hard. But, you know, I think, and as time goes on, you know, and the Hmong culture is family is above everything. You know, in a lot of cultures, family is above everything. And we don't want to mess with family. You know, and so they kind of like, hey, if you keep going, we're going to have to cut you off financially. Like, really? Okay. So that means I need to get three jobs. I was working in two jobs already. And so I needed to get another job because I couldn't, you know, support myself out in Athens. So I got three jobs. And, you know, I remember thinking, man, this is challenging. And then just, you know, my father is so hurt that I was thinking to him, he felt like it was leaving the culture. It was leaving the family. It was leaving everything you are to join this American church. And I'm like, no, 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 it's not about churches. It's about Jesus. It's about God. It's not about churches. But it was hard for him to see through all that. So he felt like you were just moving to a different group of people in your life. My defining moment. And you have yours too. I remember, you know, on the mission team to Thailand, and my father got everybody in the house. It's kind of a sending, going away party. And the house was packed. My friends were there, my uncle, my cousin, my friends. You know, we had the houses completely packed. It was standing room only. And because my father was so hurt, he stood up. This is what he said. Today, I want everybody here to know that John is no longer my son. Today, starting right now, don't call me, don't write me. You are as if dead. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. You can hear a pin drop. People were just, what's going on here? I thought this was a party. That was my defining moment. Was I going to like cave in and like, man, this is too hard. I can't do this. Or am I going to look at the love of God, Jesus, and say, there's no way I can turn back. There is no way I can turn back. defining moment. You know, you will have to continually make Jesus Lord of your life throughout your life here on earth. Just because you said Jesus Lord a long time ago is not enough. You will have to continually make demarcation lines for Jesus in your life if you're going to make it to the end. You know, being sold out, the only way to make it, the only way to predict the future is to make it yourself with God. You know, sold out for Jesus. He sold out for you. Not holding back. You know, I think so many times we have these back doors in our life. Like if plan A doesn't work, then I have these back doors that I can get out. See, being sold out for God is you have no back doors. There is no back doors. You guys are all that I have. You guys are it. I'm not going back. There is no going back. Jesus has given me too much. The blood of Jesus. No back doors. You know, how do we do this? How can we sell out completely? I think two things that we must do. Number one is to imitate Jesus. Number one is to imitate Jesus, his passion and his love. Jesus was the epitome of passion. He preached one of the most amazing sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. He cleared the temple courts. If you read it carefully, he did it twice. He ate with the sinners and the tax collectors. He calmed a raging storm after being awoken from his nap. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Luke 13 here, it says, you know, at that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you," he replied. He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem." Go tell that fox. How about that? He was full of faith, full of heart, determination, resolve. He was not going to stop until he accomplished what he had been there for. Jesus, full of passion. What about you? What is your passion? Is it your job? Is it a sports team? Is it just having good things? What is your passion? Is it for God? What is driving you? Is it the things of God? Jesus was full of love and compassion as well, imitating his passion, but also his love, healing the lepers, forgiving the paralyzed man of his sin and healing him, letting the sinful woman pour perfume on him, taking the little children into his arms, healing the Canaanite woman's daughter. Compassion, feeding the thousands because they had been with him for 3 days and he didn't want them to go home hungry. Stopping a funeral procession to raise a young boy's life. Taking care of his mother while hanging on the cross. The compassion of Jesus. For us to sell out, we have to imitate Jesus. We need to imitate his passion and his love. We need to love the lost like Jesus loved the lost. You know, do you have that passion? Are you willing to go the distance with people to help them know God? With time and effort and money and tears? Are you willing to go the full length to help people know God? He wants us to go all in. You know, our goal is not to have a great church. Even though we have a great church. That's not our goal. Our goal is not to help and serve our community, even though we need to serve our community. That's not our goal. Our goal is not even about the mission. Go and make disciples, even though that is the plan of God. It is not to have a great life here on earth. Our goal is not to have life to the full here on earth and then be with God in heaven. Our goal is to become like Jesus. That's our goal. That's my goal. I don't know about you, but that's my goal. My goal is to be more like Jesus. And it's good. I have to trim off everything that is not like Jesus. And it's going to hurt. It's going to get uncomfortable. You know, are you willing to be more like Jesus? Are you willing to let people help you to be more like Jesus? Even when it hurts. Even when it's inconvenient to you. Our goal is to be like Jesus. The second thing we need to do to really be sold out for God is through prayer. We need to pray. You know, praying is everything. The Bible says to pray continually. Everything must start on our knees in prayer. You know, praying will transport you from the sideline to the front line without going anywhere. It will take you from the sideline into the trenches without you going anywhere. Because that's where the battle is at. Praying is the difference between us fighting for God and God fighting for us. Listen to what Jesus said. I picked out a few scriptures here just to encourage us into what Jesus said about us asking and praying for him. In John 14, it says, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. This is Jesus talking. John 15 says, you did not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. The Father will give you. John 16, 23. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Ask and you will receive. And your joy will be complete. You know, finally, Ephesians chapter 3, 20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask for or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. How is your prayer life? Prayer changes things. Would anything happen in this world if it was based on your prayer life? Would anybody become Christian if everything hinges on your prayer? Take him at his word and his promises. Jesus, if you ask, I will give it to you. He has never failed and he never will. The question this morning is, have you completely sold out for Jesus? Have you burned all your ships? Here's some of the ships that we need to burn. Past failures. We need to burn that ship. Past failures. Past success. We need to burn that ship of past success. We need to burn the ship of bad habits. We need to burn the ships of regrets and guilt and shame. We need to burn the ship of my old way of life. We have to burn the ship and the bridges sometime with people that will only lead us away from God. I've burned many of those bridges. Love them, but you're not going to help me get closer to God. I just can't hang out with you anymore. It's hard. the ships of no conviction. We're just chameleon. You know, when we're with the body, with the church, we're like, woo, praise the Lord. We're at school or we're at work, we're a completely different person. We just adapt to who, you know, whoever we're with. We need to burn that ship of no conviction. Get some conviction from the Word of God. Show your total trust in God by your action. Word is cheap. Show your action. Put your faith where your mouth is. We want God to do something new while we keep doing the same old things. We want God to change our circumstances and our situation while we don't want, you know, having to change at all. You know, we're holding out on Him. We get spiritually stuck because we keep doing the same thing over and over while expecting different results. You know, spiritual routine is crucial to spiritual life. We need to have those spiritual routine. But when the routines become routine, we need to change it up. We need to make it fresh. We need to work out our relationship with God in desperation. You know, that's my thing this year. Am I really desperate for God? How desperate am I? What am I willing to do? Am I desperate? Or am I just kind of nonchalant going through this? Just going through the motion? Or am I desperate for God? Luke 13, it says here, just make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you come from." It says make every effort. I think for us, it's to make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Be open to God. You know, God does not always make the logical choices. He's looking for someone who is willing. That's all He's doing. He's looking for someone who's willing to do the things He asked him to do. You know, there was a brother that I know that, you know, every time I asked him to do something, he would say, "Hey, did you pray about that before you decided to ask me?" And I say, "Yeah." And then he would say, "Then what choice do I have? I just need to go ahead and figure out how to do this thing." Because he figured out that if God wants me to do this, what choice do I have? I need to just get busy on finding out how to do this. Right. You know, God loves us so much. And He's choosing us to do His will. You know, 1 Corinthians here. As we close out here, it says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standard. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised thing and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, it is written, 'Let those who boast, boast in the Lord.'" Amen. It is all about God anyway. Amen. You know, brothers and sisters, let us walk out of here with a sold-out response to God's love. Amen. You know, let us imitate Jesus, His passion, and His love. Let us be fervent and desperate in our prayer to God, to do great things in our life here, to do great things in our church, to do great things in 2016. Amen. You know, come back next week as we talk about the obstacle to selling out, to really selling out for God. There's some obstacle that we have to overcome, but I know that we can through Jesus. So have a happy Thanksgiving. Eat a lot. Enjoy yourself. But let's remember to get into God's Word. Let's remember to pray. And let's sell out to Jesus. Amen. God bless.
I think we've all just been challenged, haven't we? You know, talking about not having a back door, not having a plan B, burning our ships, and doing that through becoming like Jesus and by praying, and basically just deciding I'm going to burn those ships. Thank you, John, for a great message and very challenging. I have two announcements before we break up. The first one is we're going to be having a musical Christmas program on December the 13th right here. And what you're looking at here is an invitation. Kendall has a stack of them. If you are a family group leader, please see Kendall and get some of these for your family group and distribute them to them so that we can invite our family, friends, neighbors, and community around us to come share our Christmas program with us. Okay. And the second announcement is please take your fellowship into the foyer immediately after dismissal. So I guess Kendall will be back there, right? Okay. So that the rehearsal for our Christmas service can take place. Choir, actors, dancers, please meet backstage. Parents of kindergartners through fifth grade, your children will join us next Sunday for rehearsal after service. Plan on bringing a snack. Okay. So that's our that's the announcements. And let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for him being sold out, him giving everything he had with no back door. Father, we thank you for the example he showed to us by going to the cross and not shrinking away from that. Father, I thank you so much that you've loved us. You've shown us your great love. Father, help us to respond to that by giving you everything we have, Father, not having a back door, not having a plan B, not half measures, but being all in and serving you and doing your will. Father, help us to bring you glory. Be with us as we spend Thanksgiving with family and friends, and help us to remember where all of our good blessings come from. We thank you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.